Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents For the Good of All by Mark Stevens. Narrated by Ramon D'Ocampo. 1. I open my eyes, and for some strange reason, am standing on an outcropping. I do not know why I am here or how I found my way to this place. It is bleak and unbearably hot. Everywhere I look, shimmering waves of heat distort the barren landscape. A stench permeates the stifling atmosphere and offends my senses. The familiarity makes me cringe. Death. This place smells of violent death. I edge forward and look into the abyss spread out before me, and my breath catches in my throat. There are beings of every description below me. They infest the dreadful terrain and are fighting or struggling. It is hard to determine from my vantage point what could cause such turmoil. The moaning wail of their anger and despair is audible, and its pitch sickening. In the distance, I hear a low rumble that is gaining intensity. The anguish below me takes on a new tone and urgency. It is the sound of fear and terror. The rumble is competing with the din of uncontrollable panic. I look to the horizon, and whatever is happening is closer now. Dark, rolling clouds obscure the sky, and I see flashes that look like lightning. The bizarre cyclone is increasing in volume, and it's now accompanied by concussive thumps I feel through my boots. Each brilliant flash of light stabs tiny spikes of pain into my corneas. The sounds of destruction coming from the hellish storm overcome all others. Anxiety is gripping me. I try to turn away, but I am unable. I try closing my eyes to keep from comprehending what I am seeing, but I cannot. No! Please, no! The storm is close. I see bodies being ripped asunder and thrown about like rag dolls. Huge swaths of aliens are turned into clouds of scarlet mist by bright, flashing beams of energy. I can now make out a lone figure, and my legs want to buckle at the sight of the carnage it leaves in its wake. It is the Ulleron beast that resides in my brain and inhabits my body during combat. The two fiery red eyes peer out from the visor of the gore-covered armor. They bore into my soul, rending the bonds that protect and hold my Earthman moralities. I can feel the need to kill everything that stands against it, infecting me. I bolt upright in my bed, covered in sweat. I heard the artificial intelligence of my ship, the Legacy, addressing me.
Commander, I have awakened you because I sense your distress. The troubling manifestations of your human mind are the byproduct of the tremendous pressure you endured freeing Tria from her captors. In time, they will pass.
Throwing off my cover, I sit on the edge of my bed, trying to erase the images from my brain. With the help of my crew, I would rein in the monster trying to possess me. But the beast would now reward my efforts with its revenge. It would take over my dreams and use them to display its deadly prowess. It would demonstrate the proper use of my training. It would give new meaning to the phrase, "Be all you can be." Justice, how is Tria doing?
Commander, her broken limbs are responding well to the nanites I have programmed to repair the fractures. When her bones mend, I shall begin the carbon fiber lamination process of the Ulleron weaponization program.
Shaking my head, I went to my shower. Standing under the hot water, I used my implants to reduce the temperature to the point it was brisk and cool. The Ulleron weaponization program was the source of my horrific nightmares. To help ensure my survival, I had my ship's AI download the alien training and imprinting to my implants. The program was designed to make hardened soldiers out of the normally passive Ulleron citizens. At the time of development, our galaxy was facing conquest by a race of biomachines. In a feat of mind-boggling achievement, the predatory race called the Prool made the intergalactic trip from Andromeda to the fringe of the Milky Way. The Prool's single-minded purpose was to conquer or destroy a galaxy, and recover the resources necessary to expand their empire. They were indifferent to either outcome, so long as it accomplished their intended goals. Any species subjugated by the Pruul would live out the rest of their short existence gathering resources and supplying biological materials for the enemy of all races. Several of the most technologically advanced species in our galaxy formed an alliance and fought the Pruul to a standstill. Recently discovered records speculate our galaxy banded together and kicked the Pruul out of the Milky Way. Finding records or actual proof to verify this information is an ongoing quest of the few races who have access to the small amount of data available. Until we know for sure what happened, we can only contemplate the outcome. All of these events took place hundreds of years ago. What I know for sure was indoctrinating myself with alien technology without spending a significant amount of time studying it for possible side effects was not one of my better choices. Digressing was giving me a headache, so I concentrated on the future. Justice, what is our transition status?
Commander, I have detected no serious faults in the dark matter collection matrix. In 82 minutes, I will have sufficient energy to transition back to Alpha Base. I will alert you when all systems are optimal.
Roger that, Justice. I am going to the galley to pick up breakfast for Tria and I. Keep me posted if something unexpected comes up. I queried my implants and found everyone except Tria in their quarters sleeping. I don't know how I knew Tria was awake, but I did. After swinging by the galley, I went to the medbay. I steeled my emotions to contain the beast. It loves to rear its ugly head when I become angry. It's easy for me to get that way when I see Tria's beautiful face battered and bruised. 3 of her 4 arms were broken and in stasis cast. When I entered the room, Tria's restoration pod was open, and she was trying her best to give me a smile. Her effort quashes the beast's attempts at feeding on my anger. It scurries to some hidden, dark corner of my mind like a vampire fleeing the sunrise. I smiled back, and the beast faded from my thoughts. I had a feeling you might be awake. And possibly hungry. Her gorgeous emerald eyes sparkle at me when she speaks.
Have you ever considered the possibility I might have summoned you, Nathan Myers?
My smile broadens. I didn't know Chalt warriors had such powers. Are you revealing your people's secrets to a backward-thinking alien? Her laugh was like the musical notes of a favorite song. I would never grow tired of hearing it. I brought you a delicacy from Earth. Justice assured me it would not poison you. She smiled, because she had already tasted my adopted family's blueberry preserves. It was one of the few food items I had brought from Earth that Justice did not throw out the airlock. He found the bacteria count on everything else unsuitable for storage and not to his liking. He knew I would freak out, so the fruit preserves were the bone he threw me in compromise. I prepared 2 pieces of imitation wheat toast with the last of the jelly, leaving one whole and the other cut into small squares. I brought a cup of Justice's dishwater coffee and a glass of room-temperature water with a straw in it. As I leaned forward to place the meal tray on the side table of the pod, Tria reached up and placed her one good hand on my cheek. It was an intimate Chalt greeting, usually done with 2 of her 4 hands. The touch was electrifying. I swallowed down the knot that was forming in my throat. Reaching out with both of my hands, I returned the gesture. She looked a little disappointed, until I leaned in and planted an Earthman kiss on her lips. The warm smile and the sparkle in her eyes seemed to warm the whole medbay.
My father says your Earth gesture of affection is unsanitary and will infect me with bacteriological contagions.
I already knew she was, like me, impervious to disease. Rolling my eyes at her, I opened my mouth and let slip what was on my Earth boy mind. That's not the Earth gesture of affection he should worry about. As soon as I said it, I bit down on my tongue. My face turned crimson with heat.
Myers, you idiot. Keep your mind out of the gutter.
Her laughter was loud and from the heart. It took the sting from the way I was berating myself. She locked me with those beautiful green eyes, and I suddenly felt feverish. A tingling sensation overcame me. Goosebumps covered my body. My legs felt weak. What the hell was going on?
Can you feel me, Nathan?
Looking at the beautiful, battered alien, I could not break eye contact with her. She had a look on her face I had never seen before. At first, it was shocked surprise, but then it changed to something else. I tried to speak, but it came out disjointed.
I feel
different. She pulled me close and whispered,
I embrace you with my aura.
You are the first not of my species to experience Shalene and embrace its touch. To most it is toxic. I would not admit it, but I was on the verge of falling to the floor because my legs felt like rubber.
I have been aware of your aura emissions since the time you freed me from Draen's prison. Females of my species sense those who radiate such energy. It is an extremely rare characteristic, and I am drawn to it. Your aura shines like starlight, and it caresses my spirit.
Another wave hits me. I grip the edge of the med pod to keep from falling. Tria holds onto my arm, and my eyes open wide. I feel like I took the deepest breath of my life and let it out.
Can you feel me, Nathan?
Yes.
Justice must have been going through sensory overload because he broke the spell that was gripping me.
Commander. The sensations abruptly stopped.
Commander.
Yes, Justice, I hear you.
Is there a problem?
No, Commander. I need to consult with you.
Justice did not sound like his normal self, and I had a sneaking suspicion why. Justice, has charging the energy matrix caused a fault in your speech processing?
No, Commander.
Systems will be optimized for transition in 20 minutes. I have calculated all planetary movement around the local star of Alpha Base and plotted the target destination.
Wonderful, Justice.
Is there anything else you feel the need to tell me?
No, Commander, Yes, the lower rail cannon experienced a minor fluctuation in the number 3 guide rail during our last engagement. It might be an indication of a misalignment. Aiming errors of 0.1 inch are possible if left unchecked. It will require visual inspection by Engineer Koontz to determine if I am correct.
The way Justice was responding might indicate that more than the rail cannon needed looking into.
I knew, while aboard the Legacy, the AI could interact with my implants and get a good dose of what was going on in my head. He may have gotten a bigger bite of Shalene than he could chew. Tria sure rocked my socks with it.
If that is all, Justice,
call me at T-minus 2 minutes, please.
Yes, of course, Commander.
I will. Justice! T-minus 2, please.
Affirmative, Commander.
Tria did not say a word, but her smile said all that was necessary. She reached out for one of the small pieces of jelly toast, and I batted her hand away. She gave me a questioning look. I took the toast and held it in front of her swollen lips until she opened her mouth. I popped it in. She closed her eyes, chewing slowly, savoring the sweet, fruity taste. Holding the cup of water until the straw touched her lips, she drank. She put her arm around me, and we finished our meal in silence.
2.
Justice had regained his composure and alerted me we were T-minus 2 minutes and counting. I checked the crew's status with my implants. They were all sleeping. There was no point in waking them. Our last mission was a real bitch, and we were all put through the ringer. I reached out and held Tria's hand. She looked up at me, I thought she was talking, but I did not hear her words. Even the Legacy's usual sounds were muted. I could not hear a single sound. I tried calling to Tria, but could hear nothing. Everything around me was shining, and almost blinding white. I looked back at Tria, and she vanished. Looking down at my feet, I faded away. My eyes refocused, and it was like nothing had happened. There was no discomfort of any kind. I was a little confused, thinking the transition had failed. My hearing returned, and Tria was telling me that, if our molecules scatter, she was glad I was the last being she would ever see. Justice confirmed my uncertainty.
Commander, our transition is complete, and we are 0.1 light-year from Alpha Base. I have contacted my subsystem, and all is normal. The Grawl are doing well, and are researching artifacts. Graf identified the containment vessel for what it was. The scientists discussed its examination, but had concerns for what it might contain. They left it untouched, and are concentrating on the design characteristics of the nanites you recovered. We will make our approach and landing after I sweep the star system.
Thank you, Justice. Please carry on. Knowing the Prul containment vessel had not been tampered with was a welcomed relief. I closed my eyes and thanked my maker. I now had a dedicated science and research team. It will be much easier to determine if discovered artifacts could be dangerous. I was considering adding a member of the science team to my crew roster. Having one on board might prevent me from making a mistake that could have galactic repercussions. I already had a candidate in mind. Tria looked up at me. That was the most uneventful transition I have ever experienced. Tria's comment was an understatement. She may have knowledge of such things, but I was amazed by what just happened. We had just traversed over 300,000 light-years in the blink of an eye. Our previous excursions had taken days or weeks. This technology was a golden key, capable of opening the door to the entire galaxy and possibly beyond. The potential was staggering. If we could somehow recover Justice's deleted star charts, we might have a map and the means to explore the rest of the galaxy. That was the most incredible thing this Earthman has ever experienced. Tria gave me another smile and said,
Go, Nathan, and make sure that all is well. If I have needs, I will summon you.
I could not help but laugh on my way out of the medbay. I did not know if she was kidding me or not. Everything about the Chalt was a mystery. Little by little, Tria was filling me in on the many things considered secret by her people. I went to the forward lift tubes and made a fast ascent to the bridge. As the huge security doors parted, I came face to face with the Grawl engineer, Kuntz. He was the first alien species I had come in contact with. He was a little over 4 feet tall, with a gray complexion and a large, bulbous head with large, dark eyes. His race was responsible for the most reported sightings of aliens back on Earth. A lot of the facts I learned about his race were not flattering. His species was extremely intelligent, unscrupulous, and highly motivated to increase their technological expertise. The Grawl formula for success was designed to net them the power to do as they please, along with the considerable wealth that comes with that freedom. They did not care how they gained their tech, be it by begging, borrowing, or flat-out stealing. The Grawl claimed to be civilized because they demilitarized hundreds of years in the past. In reality, it was a smokescreen to hide the fact they hired mercenaries by the scores to protect their ill-gotten gains. The Grawl's favorite motto was, We prefer to leave the dying to someone else. Kuntz may have started down that road, but something about me drastically changed his insights. He was now the complete opposite of your standard Grawl template. He has proven to be smart, selfless, and courageous. His goal to reform his race for the betterment of all made him a worthy addition to my crew.
Commander, the Ularan technology for hyperspace transition is remarkable. I woke to find my material form fading from reality to another dimension. When my awareness returned, I was amazed to find we were not traveling in interdimensional space. Our reality, returning to normal space-time in the star system of our base, is an incredible accomplishment of engineering. The ability to manipulate space-time in such a manner was most unexpected.
Kuntz, I am just a primitive, backwards-thinking alien, so what just happened is beyond my comprehension. The people of my world believe what we just experienced to be impossible, and only the ramblings of fiction writers.
The smile on a Grawl's face is not a pretty sight, but I knew from experience what I was looking at, and returned the gesture. We heard loud, thumping footsteps behind us, and the last member of my crew entered the bridge.
You look rested, Commander. You must have slept as well as I did. Tell Justice to get the Matrix charged so we can get back to base and spend a few rotations with our feet on solid ground.
Clutch Zuma is a Tyborg troop master. He was a mercenary hired by nefarious criminals to protect them while they went about their illegal activities. He was a little over 5 feet tall and close to 4 feet wide. He had incredible body mass from being born on a world more than twice the size of Earth and 4 times the gravity. He easily weighed 600 or 700 pounds, none of it being fat. He tried to kill me once, and at the time, I was doing everything in my power to return the favor. If it were not for my crew, he may have completed the job. The battle was short and ugly. We killed 4 of his crew, and I had managed to wound and disarm him. Rather than finish him like he asked me to do, we talked about the criminals he worked for. The more he learned about them, the more he disliked what he had been suckered into doing. After a considerable amount of bullshitting, coercing, and flat-out bribing, I won the Tyborg over to my side. Since that time, he has sworn his allegiance to me, and has proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt more than once. The only reservation I had about the Tyborg was his nonchalant use of his warrior's scent. When excited, a Tyborg can produce an odor that could send a herd of disturbed skunks scurrying for fresh air. I opened my mouth to tell him we had arrived at our base system, but Kuntz beat me to it.
Troop Master, if you were alert, you would have already noticed we have arrived at the star system of Alpha Base.
Clutch gave the little Grawl a sideways look, and I caught the faintest whiff of something really rotten. I backed up a couple of steps, hoping for fresher air. Kuntz was wishing he had phrased his words a little differently. The Tyborg gave us a big, toothy smile, exposing a set of impressive gray choppers. It was a sight capable of making perfectly sound bladders defective. He reached out and shoved the little Grawl, and let out a loud, croaking laugh.
Ha! Kuntz, you are throg-scatting me!
When Kuntz regained his footing, he chose his next words with more care.
No, Troop Master. We have made our transition, and Justice is scanning the outer system for anomalous activity. We will be landing soon.
Clutch turned around and looked at the huge, domed viewscreen that went from floor to ceiling, encompassing the entire bridge. The view was breathtaking, because it appeared you were standing in outer space. He looked back at us in awe.
I felt nothing. The sensation of transition has always awakened me in the past. This is indeed advanced technology. Is it possible to duplicate and install on our shuttles?
I was thinking the same thing, but knew the Grawl had been trying for over 20 years without success. Kuntz once again answered before I could.
Unfortunately, Troop Master, Grawl scientists and engineers tried for many solar rotations. We were unable to breach the Guardian design shield protecting the Ulleran dead core. We found that any brute force method we could devise would destroy the device. Rather than render it useless, we directed our research to other areas of the ship.
Kuntz promptly turned and walked off the bridge. He was part of the research team that worked on the legacy after it was discovered. His failures were not something he cared to revisit. Clutch looked at me, as we both came to the same conclusion.
Are you hungry, Commander? I could eat 2 Dorta sea snakes.
Even though I had no idea what a Dorta sea snake looked like, my mind envisioned a picture of the Troop Master swallowing huge, eel-like critters.
My light breakfast started to boil. I quickly pushed the thought from my mind.
No, Clutch. I have already eaten with Tria.
Is she doing well?
Yes. She is much better now and should be out of the med bay within this rotation.
That is great news, Commander. I look forward to seeing the Chalt warrior back on duty. If you will excuse me, I will go to the galley.
My crew was aware that my relationship with Tria was changing into something other than a commander-crewmate affiliation.
Sure, Clutch. I will catch up with you when we land.
Once, when the Tybor was really hungry, I had seen him eat 20 to 30 pounds of synthesized nutrients. His eating habits at times were memorable. I went to my command chair and sat down. It was a habit of mine, when no one was around, to spin the chair in a circle, watching the stars go by. I knew it was childish, but it was so cool taking in an entire star system in one revolution. Justice decided I had been screwing around enough and broke up my revelry.
Commander, if you are done practicing your primitive human pastime, I will give you my report.
You sound kind of pissy today. Is there something you would like to talk about?
Yes, Commander. I do not believe my observations of your interactions with Tria are in any way disruptive of your unique behavior while in her presence.
I knew this was coming. The AI had somehow altered its original programming to be more like a human. Justice was soaking up every emotion I exhibited and adding it to his human catalog of interaction. He had one in particular he was hoping to catalog, and the thought irritated the shit out of me. His introduction to Shalene had rattled the normally unflappable AI, and to tell the truth, it had that same effect on me. His curiosity about the new human-chalt interaction was going to be unbearable.
Justice, you spent more than a year on my planet. In that time, I am sure you properly interpreted the definition of privacy.
The AI was silent. It was his way of displaying impatience or annoyance at my lack of cooperation. Sometime in the future, I would pay for my responses by being subjected to the AI's interpretation of human humor. It usually meant I would be on the receiving end of a childish prank.
You said you had a report?
Yes, Commander.
The star system is secure, and I am making our approach to Alpha Base. The Grawl scientists are aware of our return and have gathered in the hangar to greet you. They have been working non-stop since we departed, and are very excited to show you the improvements they have made to Alpha Base.
Thank you, Justice. That is great news. Can you give me an update on Tria's condition? I was wondering if her bone fractures were stable enough she could be released from the medbay.
Yes, Commander. She has been insisting on her release since your visit early this morning. I have removed the rigid stasis casts and replaced them with less restraining protective devices. She has asked for a small delay in the next phase of the weaponization program.
Oh, really? Did she say why?
Yes, Commander. She wishes to spend time interacting with you.
I felt the temperature rise in my cheeks. The expectant tone in Justice's voice left nothing to my imagination. 3. Justice dropped us out of orbit, and I watched our approach on the view dome. The moon our base was located on had just enough atmosphere to produce a fiery glow around the hull on our rapid descent. We were making a straight-in approach that appeared to be on a collision course with the side of a massive mountain range. Just when our demise seemed imminent, large entry doors rapidly opened in one of the mountains. The Legacy disappeared into the dark tunnel entrance, and the camouflaged doors quickly closed, leaving no evidence the site was anything other than a mountain. As the Legacy passed through the atmospheric retention field, bright lights lit the way to the enormous spacecraft parking area. I went to my cabin, put on a fresh, smart cloth uniform, and walked out the door. Tria was walking down the corridor toward her quarters. She gave me a mischievous look.
Tria,
It's good to see you up and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?